Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, sustainable fashion hits the runway in Athens.
If you look up to the history of textiles, we had natural dyes, you know, like from 5,000, 6,000 years.
Plus, the yearly Blueberry Festival seeks to improve the health of land and people.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
A pop song is one thing. The person behind the music is another.
I was like very studious. I was actually in the International Baccalaureate program in AP. I like loved physics and math, listening on Cold War history classes.
Surprising artist profiles, authors, sports, and more every Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. The Athens-Clark County Commission will adopt the upcoming fiscal year's budget on June 9th. The county's mayor, Kelly Gertz, submitted a proposed budget to the commission on May 1st. The document contains plans for how to fund the county's services, from local community events to water and sewer delivery. I sat down with Mayor Gertz to get an overview of his version of this important document and to see how he will approach his final months as mayor. Here's that conversation. Can you give us an overview of your recommended budget for fiscal year 2027?
Absolutely. So in the big sweep, people think often of the core of the budget being what we call our general operating fund, which is about $212 million as proposed in the coming year. That'll maintain a static millage rate of 12.25. The millage rate, that is your property taxes, count for just slightly over half of the budget. And fortunately, while we don't have a ton of new revenue, we've got sufficient revenue to do all of the basic operating that anybody expects in a local government. We can run the fire stations, and in fact, we're going to be doing that in slightly enhanced fashion with both a newer fire station and a couple of new folks who are attached to medical service provision. We're able to continue to pave your road successfully. We're able to continue to have our fully staffed police department out there on the streets, taking care of accidents and the like. And we've got a couple of new things that are in the budget that I'm excited about. We're doing some internal reorganization in how we build things, so how we bring capital projects out of the ground in other terms. And so we're going to have a county engineer who's going to be helping with that process. And as we've grown, both as a community and in line with that as a government, the manager's office has grown just a little. And so I'm proposing that we have an additional assistant manager in the manager's office this year, just so there's better distribution of responsibility in the organization of 1,800 people, so that no single person has to have this big, big, big portfolio of a bunch of units that they're having to ride herd on.
And another assistant manager, that will bring us, how many do we have currently?
So that would bring us to a complement of a manager, a deputy manager, two assistant managers, and a chief of staff in that office. And then there's some administrative support on top of that.
Gotcha. Those manager positions are not inexpensive.
They are not inexpensive, but I will tell you, you get what you pay for. And we want skilled people because we want quality work to happen on the ground. We've been very, very lucky to have Bob Cowell join us as the county manager for nearly the last year. He comes with a wealth of experience from St. Louis to Bloomington, Indiana, to Amarillo, Texas, to Roanoke, Virginia, to here. And he really knows how all of these gears in local government operate. And he knows about how to find efficiencies and increase those efficiencies. And he interacts very well with our partner organizations, both on the public sector side and then private industry as well. He knows how to make sure that there's a clean path if you want to build that new business or if you want to start that new laboratory enterprise.
Speaking of County Manager Cowell, he discussed that there's an extra $1.6 million in unexpected money. Can you tell us where that money is coming from and what the commission is considering doing with it?
So if you think about the construction of the property tax digest, imagine an image on your television screen that starts out fairly fuzzy, but where you can still say, oh, well, that's Ma and Pa. And then the image gets tighter and tighter and tighter to where, oh, yeah, I can see sort of every wrinkle around Pa's eyes. Well, that's really what's happening in these last couple of months as we lead up to budget approval. And so just as the understanding of the digest gets tighter, we fortunately have gained about $1.6 million of new revenue. Now, a couple hundred thousand dollars of that revenue already has to be earmarked for some new responsibility we have to funding pension programs through the state of Georgia. God bless the General Assembly. A couple hundred thousand dollars of that will close the gap between a 3.5% and a 4% increase in salary for our employees. And then there are probably a couple of things that we'll be able to fund, particularly for the judiciary, like a new position in the magistrate court office, that both will make things more efficient over there and should reduce our jail population by doing more granular analysis of who's in jail and for what. And then the recommendation is that we put about $1 million of that back into fund balance, or effectively our savings account.
And what explains the $31 million increase in the operating and capital budget compared to last year?
So if you look across all funds, you're going to see that we're doing some big picture sewer work, for example. As you have more human beings living in Athens-Clarke County, you need bigger pipes so that when we flush our toilets and turn on our showers, that wastewater goes somewhere. So it includes projects like that. As we go from being a town of, 95,000 when I moved here to over 130,000 today.
Well, finally, as your final term of mayor comes to an end this year, what do you hope to achieve in the next few months as you wrap up your service to the county?
Well, I've got a punch list of things where I want to see projects moved closer to fruition. You always recognize when you're in a term-limited capacity like I am that you're going to initiate some things that others are going to pick up after you're gone. And similarly, you're always taking on some work that was left behind by your predecessors. Among the things that I really want to get across the finish line is full planning for this new judicial facility. There are a couple of big leisure services projects that I want to make sure get finished. There's going to be a West Side Park somewhere west of the loop off Atlanta Highway. I want to make sure that we at least purchase the property for that and get that done. One of the things we have checked off the list is we've purchased all the property for the Firefly Trail. So that's going to be effectively complete in the coming months. I'm really excited about that.
Well, you have been in public service in Athens for quite a while. What would you say about your time having served this community?
It's only deepened my love for Athens. Every day I get to encounter people who are grateful for the opportunity to live in such a vibrant and caring place, who sometimes argue fervently about exactly the right direction for the community. Obviously, we've got elections going on right now. Part of what elections are about is, kind of having a big job interview for people who want to argue about different perspectives on the route forward. And so I'm glad to live in a community that's full of spirit. I wouldn't want to live in a community where everybody's just walking around shrugging and doesn't give a rip about what happens. People care dearly about Athens, and I'm going to continue to live here, and I'll just be able to apply my skills in a different way.
Well, once again, thank you, Mayor Kelly Gertz, for speaking with me.
Thank you, Alexia.
Kelly Gertz is the mayor of Athens-Clarke County. He recommended a budget to the county commission in early May. A taxpayer's Bill of Rights hearing will be held on Tuesday, June 2nd. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
You know exactly how you take your morning coffee. Knowing where to get news you can rely on is just as simple. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Fashion is an important part of how we express ourselves, but the production of clothing has long had negative impacts on the environment. This spring, the Atlanta Sustainable Fashion Week held an event in Athens. The organization aims to promote fashion that has fewer negative impacts on the environment. WUGA's Alexandra Tillman attended and explored what eco-friendly clothing production in Georgia is all about. Here's that story.
Those are the sounds of a sustainable fashion show. Almost 5 years ago, Tangeria Willis founded Atlanta Sustainable Fashion Week. It's a yearly event that uses an edutainment model, leveraging the thrill and beauty of fashion to educate on sustainability. The event uplifts designers and strategies, both for the sake of fashion and the planet's longevity. As the state of Georgia combats an ongoing drought and wildfires, Willis says that it's important for people to connect the dots between these extreme weather patterns and the fashion industry.
And the thing that most people don't understand is they look at carbon emissions and they look at all these things separately. Fashion is one of the one things that touches all of that. It touches water degradation and overuse, overconsumption of water. It touches energy. It touches carbon emissions.
The fashion industry contributes close to 10% of carbon emissions globally. And according to the United Nations Environment Program, the industry uses the equivalent of 86 million Olympic-sized swimming pools of natural water resources.
Fashion is always talked about at a 30,000-foot view of how beautiful and pretty it is. But the chemical processing, all of the things that happen along with it, are the very cause that we're having all of our climate issues now.
The fashion industry, which is a part of the textile industry, isn't going anywhere. It contributes more than $1 trillion to the global economy. And Willis doesn't want fashion to go away. The goal is to contribute to its evolution through incremental change, as experts have recommended.
And even just something so simple as, don't throw all your banners from your events in the landfills. Give them to us. We'll make fashion out of them.
Last year, Atlanta Sustainable Fashion Week did just that. Using game day banners that would have been thrown away, designers repurposed the material into clothing that was shown on the ATL-SFW runway. Among the many events this year for ATL-SFW was the runway at the Globe in Athens. It was a showcase for one designer, Kavya Swami, and her small batch collection of hand-dyed pieces. The University of Georgia PhD candidate used natural indigo to pattern her designs for a collection titled Beyond Blue. Swami said that she wanted her collection to be creative and responsible, while also being free of synthetic materials.
If you look up to the history of textiles, we had natural dyes, you know, like from 5,000, 6,000 years, you know, kind of history. And if you look back, the synthetic intervention, it has been just like 180 to 200 years.
Those synthetic interventions came about from the revolutionary technology that is plastic and the convenience of polyester, which revolutionized the fashion industry after World War II. However, that convenience has become the backbone of fast fashion. From 1980 to 2014, polyester production increased by nearly 900%. As of 2022, 60% of clothes contained polyester, according to the sustainable fiber company Fibershed. One study published in 2021 said 1 kilogram of polyester has been estimated to release more than 30 kilograms of CO2 when taking into account its manufacturing and its discardment. This contributes to the fashion industry's significant impact to global carbon emissions and, by extension, global warming. While there has been an uptick in green initiatives and efforts by individuals to be more earth conscious, Willis says there's still a disconnect.
Being able to really understand what sustainability is at its core is still an uphill battle. We are in the U.S., we do a lot of greenwashing.
Willis says other countries have been more successful at implementing sustainable practices, whereas in the U.S., it's been a much slower adoption.
We are such a capitalistic nation that it makes it difficult for sustainable brands and sustainable companies to really get a foothold.
Through Atlanta's Sustainable Fashion Week, Willis' goal is to carve into that foothold so that small batch sustainable brands and designers like Swami stand a chance in today's marketplace for the sake of a healthier planet. For WUGA, I'm Alexandra Tillman.
The annual Forest Heights Blueberry Festival, held in Athens, is a celebration of blueberries for all ages. However, the yearly party is only one branch of the West Side Neighborhood's Blueberry Project. Bart King helped found the Blueberry Project in 2021 after the COVID-19 pandemic, when residents of Forest Heights were craving ways to connect. The project is now in partnership with several nonprofits around Athens, and it seeks to increase the resilience of both land and residents of the neighborhood. WUGA's Emma Auer sat down with Bart King to discuss what inspired this project and what attendees can expect from this year's Blueberry Festival. Here's that conversation.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about the Blueberry Project and the festival?
Yeah, so the project began about 6 years ago, coming out of COVID. I was interested in creating something to try to build community resilience. But I was really aware that we needed to have community resilience. We needed to kind of regenerate our community and regenerate our land some. So I was looking for a small regenerative project I could start. And my friend Clyde Yates, who does Hungry Gnome landscaping in the community, he had suggested this Blueberry Project, which had been on his mind, and it seemed like a great fit. So we checked around in our neighborhood in Forest Heights and in Newtown to see who would be interested and willing to host blueberry bushes along the street. And then we raised money and started planting blueberry bushes. And so, now we've got almost 250 bushes spread around Forest Heights and surrounding neighborhoods, and some over in Newtown from the first planting that we did. So that was the project. And then the festival spun up to raise more funds to plant more bushes and to just begin celebrating the culture of the blueberry bushes, which is kind of this nice feedback between having the project there that people can get into and then and celebrate it with the festival.
And how does this idea of regenerative agriculture, how does that fit in?
The idea of regenerative agriculture as opposed to monoculture agriculture, has agriculture help care for the land, right? So we're not just stripping the, and it has a lot to do with soil health, right? And what's going to build soil health so that it can continue to grow more plants and more crops, and you're not just pulling out the health of the soil and degrading the health of the soil so that eventually you can't grow anything there without a lot of inputs. So to regenerate land as far as agriculture is concerned, yeah, soil is a big part of it. But then if you think about larger land use patterns, you know, the needs of forest land, the needs for housing, right? So how can we be stewards of the land in a way that we're getting back into the balance, thinking about how do we bring value back to degraded lands? That's really what regenerating the land means to me.
This question kind of comes from the fact that a lot of people in Athens don't own private property. Maybe they rent. Do you have any suggestions for creating resilient communities for people who don't own private property?
Yeah, well, I mean, love to see more shared resources developed, by developers, right? So, apartment owners or apartment developers and so forth having shared space for community gardens, where people can grow some food if they want, or putting in perennial foods that are available.
Finally, how can people start something like this in their own neighborhood?
I think it's really about having an idea that sparks people's interest, and if the community is ready for it and wants it. I mean, I think that was the key here, is that Forest Heights was getting younger as a neighborhood, a lot of young families moving in who wanted to be connected more. Plus, coming out of COVID, people were, I think, eager to form community connections. And it was an idea that I think resonated with people and took off pretty well. But it doesn't have to be blueberries, right? It could be, you know, shared tools, right? It could be any other kind of, it could be figs, right? It could be, there's a lot of different ways to really find out what a community wants and needs, and then begin developing a plan for sharing it, share the investment, and share the maintenance so that everybody can benefit from it.
What can attendees expect this year from the festival?
So the festival is this coming Saturday, May 30th, and it's a full day of events now. In the morning, we kick off with two simultaneous events. One is with Bike Athens, a bike rally for kids. And then there's also a 5K and fun run that happens at the same time. The Blueberry Hill, Forsyth's a hilly neighborhood, so we call that the Blueberry Hill. And it's a pretty challenging loop course, three-lap 5K course, or a single lap for the fun run. And then we have a blueberry cook-off that we've done every year. The only rule is that contestants have to, have to have blueberries as an ingredient in whatever they cook, and we have guest judges, and there's and people really show out. That's a pretty incredible event. Lots of really good food. So that's at 11 o'clock. We also, for the first time, are having the kids pop up park. Athens Clark County has a pop up park that they drive in and they pull out toys and games and so forth for the kids. So we're gonna have that at 11 o'clock also, and then from 1 to 5, we have a bunch of how-to demonstrations, everything from gardening to yoga and Moroccan food cooking, just kind of whatever. We've just put it out to the neighborhood, like, hey, what's something that you're interested in sharing with your neighbors? And so we've got a whole slate of different demonstrations. And then at 5:30 is the Blueberry Jam concert. So we have 5 bands playing and food trucks and silent auction, and we're going to do our best to dodge the rain.
All right, well, Bart King, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Bart King is a resident of the Forest Heights neighborhood in Athens and a founder of the Blueberry Project. You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Emma Auer and Haviva Saltz. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org. And will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening, and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.